home for the NBA Finals, World Series, and college football's national championship. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. Live from Wildcat Golf Club for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's the kings of Houston sports radio, John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here live from Wildcat Golf Club. Our occasional invitational is going to take place in just about an hour and a half, so we're excited about that. We're also excited about Aaron Taylor joining us, former Notre Dame Fighting Irish, played for the Packers, played for the Chargers, won the Lombardi Award here in the city of Houston. Aaron Taylor. Aaron, what do you remember about
What's up, H-Town's the best, man. I remember that night fondly. Well, most of it anyway.
What'd you do while you were here?
I discovered Whataburger at about 4 a.m. I'll tell you that. I'll have to tell you guys offline because LZ knows about my sordid history getting a Ph.D. in debauchery. But it was a good night in the class act. Mel Kiper was the MC of all people. Forrest Gregg was the guy that actually presented me with the award. It was quite the evening.
Yeah, a lot of people rediscover Whataburger at that time here in Houston on a regular basis. Sometimes not even that late slash early.
No.
Sometimes they do it just 11:30 or 12.
Sometimes people do it for dinner.
Yeah, sometimes people just rediscover it.
Yeah.
Some people do it at 10:15 after they get off the radio, and they're like, I can get a burger and fries at 10:15 from Whataburger? Bing. I don't know who does that except me. Aaron, you're a guy who I told a little story about your background here on the radio a couple segments ago, and you know how you came up and the Joe Moore Awards, and before we get into what we want to talk about, I do want to mention you're a college football analyst right now for CBS Sports. You're going to be called. You've prepped for a lot of games this year. You've got UTSA versus Western Kentucky, the Conference USA game. This is interesting to me because UTSA has a player I'm studying in the draft. He was their first ever four-star recruit. I think that the job that they've done at UTSA is really, really impressive.
It is, Lance. You bring up a great point, and they certainly had a disappointing last outing, taking the L after their undefeated season. But when you take a look at what this program has done, it's only been in existence for 11 years. So the recent success that they've had under Jeff Traylor, who's a longtime high school coach in Texas, is pretty remarkable. It seems like the pressure kind of got to them with the undefeated and, you know, all the talk and the constant barrage of questions because they just haven't had much experience with it. But these two teams have played earlier on in the season. It was lights out offense. Bailey Zappi's thrown for 50-plus touchdowns this year. He's the quarterback for Western Kentucky. So we're expecting some fireworks and a shootout, and it's a really good quality of football. I've been really intrigued and interested in watching it and breaking the tape down. But to your point, there's some really good individual players, but I'm expecting a good game on both sides of the ball.
By the way, Western Kentucky, a 2.5-point favorite in this football game, which is a little bit surprising, seeing as how this season that UTSA.
That's been another good program, too, though.
Yeah.
It's one of those programs that are always, like App State and University of Louisiana are always Sun Belt finalists.
Yeah.
Like Western Kentucky's been there a lot.
All right, Aaron Taylor, Notre Dame. What your thoughts on this Brian Kelly situation, and especially what Gary Barta said, is that Brian Kelly leaving the program may affect whether or not Notre Dame can get into the college football playoff.
That was expected, and I think the irony here of the Irish goodbye by Brian Kelly is not lost on many of us. And I think it's just so fitting to where we are right now with our sport. It was a shock to all of us, man. I had heard some rumblings, as we all had, about Brian Kelly maybe peeking over the fence and wanting to go. He'd been there 11 years. He's the all-time winningest coach. He hadn't won a national championship, but it becomes a law of diminishing returns at some point, and there appeared to be some head-banging behind the scenes where he wasn't getting his way, and he took his toys and he went down to LSU where maybe there's a little bit more resources, if you will, and support to do the things he wants to do, which is win the national championship. The players, of course, are the losers in this deal. They do have a shot, but let's be honest. Notre Dame played one ranked team this season, and they got beat by them, and that was Cincinnati. 8 of their 12 or 11 wins, rather, were against teams that didn't have winning records, right? They're 500 or worse. So Notre Dame, with the schedule that they played, to me, even though it's been a great season, even though they've been improved, was a long shot to get there. I think without a head coach, there's just too many other options that, all things being equal, that the committee might look elsewhere, which really sucks for the kids. But I'll say this, boys, we are an upset away from having chaos, where we're looking at a two-loss Alabama, we're looking at a Notre Dame, we're looking at a two-loss Ohio State possibly getting back in there. There's a lot of different things that can happen if Georgia somehow loses to Alabama, Oklahoma State loses to Baylor, Michigan gets beat by an Iowa team which has got a great defense. And how about Houston, man? The Cougars are the best 11-win team in the country that nobody's really talking about because we've all been focused on Cincinnati. But Houston's defense is better than Cincinnati, statistically anyway, in a lot of meaningful categories, and their offense can score with the best of them. It's not a layup that the Bearcats win the American.
No, Bearcats have not played their best football over the second half of the season, and conversely, Houston has played their best football over the second half of the season. You made an important distinction, and this is interesting because you're a former Domer, but when you're in the media where you need to, or in a position of being an analyst, and you have to take a look at the entire scope of things when you're analyzing and being objective, Notre Dame, as you mentioned, they do not have the great schedule. I hear a lot of talk about a one-loss Notre Dame would never fall behind a two-loss Ohio State. Let's take a look at the loss, yes, is to Cincinnati, but who else did Notre Dame play? Then when you look at Ohio State's losses, one would be to an Oregon team that was sitting there inside the college football playoffs just 2 weeks ago, and the other team would be Michigan, who, unless Iowa upsets them, will be the number two team. I think, gun to my head, I believe Ohio State is one of the four best teams. I am curious about how much mayhem would have to take place for them to make a jump. Because if you had put them at six in front of Notre Dame, Ohio State, after they got beat, you can maybe make the point, Aaron. Boy, it's going to be hard to come all the way from seven.
There's no question about that. I think Oklahoma State kind of controls its own destiny. If it wins the Big 12 championship against Baylor, they're likely one of the four best and will have earned it. They will have beaten, you know, two teams in back-to-back weeks that were top 10 in nature. It's hard to keep out a one-loss Oklahoma State Big 12 champion. The thing that's interesting to me, man, and I think it kind of underscores the bigger point here, and we're talking about Notre Dame's schedule and the strength or lack thereof. The reason that Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly left their respective universities, they share something in common, aside from the fact that they both have the same agent, Trace Armstrong. That's a point that hasn't been maybe highlighted as much as it should. But both of those guys left blue blood institutions where they felt that there was a better chance to win a national championship than their respective schools. That's why the departures of those coaches has been felt so strongly and has hurt so much to the fan bases, because they got broken up with for a sexier chick. And that hurts and it sucks. But the reality is this, fellas. Oklahoma and Notre Dame are not elite. They're perennially powerful. They can get to the dance, but they both have gotten boat raced in the college football playoff. And the significant difference isn't talent, it's depth. Notre Dame against Clemson, a couple years ago, Julian Love, the cornerback, goes down. The backup comes in. Prior to that point, it had been a nail-biter of a game. Clemson scores three big touchdowns. Justin Ross, game over. Brian Kelly, Lincoln Riley are both going to hotbeds of recruiting. Three straight national champions with the last three coaches at LSU. He could coach circles around Ed Ogeron and Les Miles, in my opinion, and Lincoln Riley. He's got a ready-made Heisman favorite quarterback in Caleb Williams that's likely going to join him. We've seen the departures of other five stars that are now going to stay right there in California. These guys have made a ton of money. They have proven themselves and taken their respective institutions as far as they can go. They've got their eye on national championships, and that's the concerning thing here. The consolidation of power and the development and retention of the players is the key here, and you cannot do that in a place like Oklahoma, who hasn't won a national championship since 2000, or in South Bend, even though they recruit nationally, that hasn't won a national championship since 1988. whereas LSU and USC are in prime locations for recruiting purposes, and to stay ahead of the early signing period, that's why those guys left so early and so quickly. And we need to look at that as a sport, or we're going to see a lot more of this moving forward.
Oh, it's crazy right now, Aaron. It is crazy. The coaching carousel is just crazy. We're an LSU family. My wife went there. My daughter went there. I was just at the game on Saturday night against Texas A&M. We're big fans. I don't think Brian Kelly plays at LSU in Baton Rouge in the South. I just don't. What did you think of Brian Kelly as a guy at Notre Dame?
Well, does it matter if he plays? I'll start there first because Ed Orgeron couldn't play any better. He won a national championship 2 years later. They fired his ass. So right. I don't know if cultural fit matters. What matters is winning. He didn't get fired because he wasn't a cultural fit. It was quite the opposite. So what you're going to get in Brian Kelly is a proven winner with an almost impeccable resume. Won 2 national championships on the D2 level. Gets to Cincinnati. Gets them to crack and join, you know, the New Year's Six with that 11 win season that he had. Then he departs quickly, which is part of his MO. He comes to Notre Dame. He gets us into the national championship game. We get boat race. He's been to the college football playoff 2 times. He's a proven winner. There were some roadblocks that are inherently at Notre Dame that he's not going to get at LSU that will allow him to accomplish what he wants to do, which is get back to winning national championships. Which he had done previously on the D2 level, as we mentioned. He's a consummate politician. He's going to say and do the right thing. He's really improved himself over the years from being a hothead. He's learned to manage that. He drives a hard bargain. His expectations are high, but he has proven to be able to be successful. But the key hire for him isn't going to be an offensive coordinator. It's going to be his ability to stay out of the quarterback room and not meddle there, and hire a good offensive line coach. When he was paired with Harry Heistand, Notre Dame was unstoppable. You look at the creatures that he put out when Harry was coaching him, and Quentin Nelson, and Ronnie Stanley, and Zach Thomas, and many, 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 many more. There's the starters in the NFL there are unquestioned. He's got to get that right. And if he does, just like the 2019 LSU team that won the Joe Moore Award, they're going to be off and rolling.
Any chance Harry makes a return to coaching at LSU?
Say that again. I didn't hear you.
Any chance Harry Heistad makes a return to coaching at LSU?
Man, I don't know, Lance. He just retired.
What a hire that would be.
Yeah, that would be, to me, as monumental as Brian Kelly going to LSU in the first place, and I think that would make him an immediate contender in the West, which is stacked from top to bottom, with some really good improving programs with Ole Miss and Arkansas. My goodness, the power players are in the SEC. Brian Kelly knows that, and the other people are trying to play catch-up, and that's part of, again, I think why Lincoln Riley left. He didn't want to take a knife to a gunfight by, you know, following Oklahoma into the SEC, so he went out west where he got a really good chance to win the Pac-12 and only have to face an SEC team maybe once a year in the playoffs.
AT, before we let you go, Zarin Taylor, our CBS sports analyst, he's going to be on the call for Western Kentucky versus UTSA, the Conference USA Championship. Before you go, Georgia versus Alabama. John and I were talking about this a little bit. You've had a close look at both teams, watching tape for the Joe Moore Awards and, you know, seeing how both teams play. What are your thoughts on how that matchup plays out?
This is the first time we've ever seen Georgia have the creatures on both lines of scrimmage that were superior. Now, I know Will Anderson, the linebacker, is a young, tremendous player, probably top 5 pick when he decides to come out. But you look at Georgia's front 7, we haven't seen something like this in the last couple decades on how good they are on all 3 levels. It's going to be really hard, in my opinion, for Alabama to find a way to move the football just through the air. They are woeful in the run. They've been injured. They've struggled to try to find the right combination up front. And this is hard for me to say. We haven't said it much, but Alabama's bad up front. Georgia can take advantage of that. They're a more balanced team offensively. I think their defense can give them a shot to keep it a lower scoring game. Georgia hasn't been as prolific offensively as they've certainly been on the other side of the ball on defense. But I think this is Georgia's year, and it's important because if Kirby Smart can't win and beat Alabama in the SEC championship, under this year with these circumstances, he'll never be able to do it. So I think there's some things that that program and Kirby Smart need to prove to themselves and to the rest of the country, and they have to beat Alabama to do it.
Yep. Aaron Taylor, before you go, Lance talks about the Joe Moore Awards all the time. He's on the committee. Joe Moore was your offensive line coach, and this award named after him. Could you just say a couple of things about what Joe Moore meant to you?
Well, he was masterful getting us to be the best versions of ourselves. Sent 52 dudes to the NFL over 18 seasons. Never had a senior starter that played for him and started that didn't at least have a cup of coffee in the NFL. He's unprecedented, and his track record will never be repeated. But more than that, guys, he upheld the principles of toughness and teamwork. It wasn't about him. It was about us. And it didn't matter who you were, what your talent level was. The expectation was that you were going to give everything you had. It's those things that I think our award recognizes. And we didn't invent the offensive line. We just finally created a way to acknowledge its excellence. And you take a look at the semifinalists and the fact that six of the 13 are playing in their conference championship game. The one thing that has never changed with our sport is the inextricable alliance. The combination and the fact that offensive line play, when it's done well, is always tied to superior winning football. That's always been the case. It's always going to be the case, and it's certainly been the case this season. And we're all really interested to see how this thing shakes out. It's still wide open.
That's it. That's Aaron Taylor right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, great talking to you. Have fun with that Western Kentucky UTSA game this weekend. Aaron, thanks for joining us and spending time with us.
Yeah, my pleasure, boys. Enjoy that Whataburger.
We do. We will, and we do. Aaron Taylor right here, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Good get, Lance. Nice job there. HRP is what we're talking. Matter of fact, Chris was just here. Chris Fisher is the guy who, well, he runs the place because Mike Holly, I'm not sure what he does over there. He just owns it. That's what he does. Now, Mike works too, but Chris is here, and he busts his tail. And, you know, all of the guys over there, you might see Kevin Rober. You might see Chad Plotkin. You don't know who you're going to get, but when you get somebody, what they're going to do is they're going to come to your place of business. They're going to ask you to give them as much information as you possibly can about your business, and then they're going to customize a plan for you because every deal is going to be different. Everyone, there is no cookie-cutter stuff here. Your business is different than everybody else's, so your needs are different than everybody else's. So they're going to customize a payroll plan and an HR plan for you, and not only that, but they're going to customize benefits packages so you select the benefits package that's right for your company, not one that the payroll company gives you. It's you select that. That's awfully important, people. I can't emphasize it enough. So if you're looking for the payroll and an HR company, and then the benefits packages that fit you, all you got to do is go to HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Wildcat Golf Club. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We're just over an hour away from the occasional invitational here at Wildcat Golf Club. Hector, you playing today, right?
I hope so.
Well,
I'm
let's go.
Try to play.
Our friend from SiteJab.
Yeah.
Hector
and you got my boy Houston on your team, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do.
Yeah.
Houston, Archie.
I was with him yesterday. Archie's playing too?
Yes, sir.
I was with Houston yesterday. He sucked. So you guys ain't winning nothing today.
He's my golf mentor, so if I suck too.
Oh, my God. Wait, Houston's mentoring you in golf?
Yes.
Boy, are you going to have a rough day.
This day's going to suck. Couple of years.
SiteJab, Hector with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 for the occasional invitational. What's going on? How's business?
You know, it's good. You know, COVID has changed the dynamics of business and the way the economy works. Most people are going online. They're realizing they need to be online. So that's where SiteJab, web development, and also online marketing services comes to play.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I always figured, and I know we talked about that as copy points, but I always figured that people who they found new ways, maybe it opened the eyes for a lot of people and said, you know what, we can be more efficient and actually bring in more money if we do e-commerce stuff through the site.
I mean, the thing is, you know, for a brick-and-mortar business, you're closing down at 5, 6 o'clock, but your website still runs after hours, so it's still selling and making business for you on weekends and when you're asleep. So it's even more important. But, hey, I also want to give you guys a shout-out, too, as well. You guys have been very vital. ESPN has been very important to us and the growth of our business. You know, SiteJab, we started off back about almost 10 years ago, and ESPN has been very important for that growth for us. And I really appreciate you guys.
Oh, man, we appreciate that. And
there's a commercial. Wait, Todd, get that commercial.
Yeah. He's already got it. Don't worry. Do you ever hear John's clunky transitions about? Where he goes, boy, that sounds like a real jab whenever I'm going to do a SiteJab commercial?
I love it.
Do you ever hear those?
I was 16 years old in radio. I love those segues, yes. By the way, I want to give a shout-out right here to my girl, Esty. Uh-huh. Esty is our marketing director, also media buyer, too, as well. She helps put this all together. She's right here taking
Wait
pictures.
A minute. Hold on. A marketing company has a marketing director?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Oh, well, it's kind of important.
That just seems like it's redundant. No, I'm not saying you're redundant.
She works
apologize.
With you guys as well in media buying, making sure that, you know, our rates are good.
Yeah.
Yes. Way to go. Way to go.
By the way, in SiteJab, as I told John, I confirmed this with you. Jab actually is a boxing. Like, yeah. It is a shout-out to boxing.
And COVID also helped that, too. You got to get the jab.
Yeah, that's right. But you're a boxing fan,
wait,
and you said,
no, you're right, going to get political now.
You want to punch
no,
up.
You don't have to get the jab. You don't have to, everybody.
You don't have to get the jab, but it helps. It helps.
Well, now wait a minute.
But you got to get the jab. You got to get site jab.
I got mine.
You got to get punch it up. You got to punch up your site.
You punched
so that's
up
where the
Archie
jab
in Houston's site.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and you know what? They said, you know, they said immediately, yeah, we need some work on that. SiteJab, we got the place for you, SiteJab.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, the beauty behind, you know, running your own business, you kind of get to, you know, select, handpick, you know, the people you work with. You know, I come from corporate media and transitioning over to my own company. One thing that was real important to me was that, you know, I want to create a culture where not only do you enjoy the people you work with, but the people you work for. And so, you know, like Archie Houston and our clients, phenomenal people. They're like family to us. And so, you know, if you're listening right now on ESPN Radio and you're looking for a down-to-earth team, they're like family, that's going to look out for you. Whenever you're, you know, look out for your marketing, is not looking out for your, not just trying to steal a buck, they're not trying to steal a buck for you, but also looking out for you guys. You know, SiteJab's that team. We get, you know, do websites, marketing, SEO, social media, TV commercials.
Everything. You're a full scale. I always tell people it's like a full suite of products. Just
yes.
Go there and look at their products online at SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com. Hector, hit him straight. Don't listen to anything he said. He trash talks. He would trash talk the Pope if he were here. I'm telling you.
Well, he wears a goofy hat. I'm
yeah.
Tell him
you
that.
See what I'm saying?
You see?
So you're going to catch it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. See, you Hector. You're playing right behind us, I think.
Hey, you know, I've been watching. Yeah. I've been watching John since once I was like in middle school, so I know he was on.
There's a jab right there.
Yeah, that's
There's
right.
a jab. I just got jabbed. Hector, we appreciate it.
Probably at Nick's place is where I saw you.
Thanks, pal.
Hey,
probably.
Appreciate
TV.
Guys.
Probably.
Yeah.
Thanks, Hector.
Hector, we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for being here and being a big part of our little group here. SiteJab, if you want to give the website, Lance, why don't you tell people about it?
SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com, that's the website. So listen, if you need website help, we just told you SiteJab is going to be the place for you. If you need free agency help, we're hoping that James Click can get that done. He met with the media to talk about his new reliever. By the way, there's a new reliever.
Oh, yeah, we heard that.
There's a new reliever.
And what's his name?
Hector Neris.
We're going Hector from Hector to Neris. Hector.
Yeah, that was the spot, by the way.
That's
I see
right.
you get some confusion.
Yeah, right.
That was
that
the
was
spot.
The spot.
Yeah, we're good.
Oh.
I'm teasing the next segment.
I got you. Well,
yeah.
I want to tease. I want to tease Golden Nugget because, listen, I want to tell you this about the Golden Nugget. I'm going there for Christmas.
Are we headed back?
I'm heading back for Christmas.
My wife's out of town from the 26th through like the 31st.
That's when we're going, 26th and 27th.
Tell him to get me a room.
Okay. No, you tell him. I mean, what? No, Tyler's like
just me
too.
Him. Just Look text at, him.
Listen, and listen.
I need to get a room. I'll just let my kids stay at home by themselves.
That's the excitement that you have when you see what the Golden Nugget is offering. Both Tyler and Lance were there, and they were like, oh, I want to go back. I want to go back. Yes, I want to go back. And listen, we were there for just last month, and guess what? I told my wife, we have to go back. She was like, absolutely. Let's take the family. We're all going. We're going to have a great time. Restaurants, shopping, pool, golf, beautiful hotel, wonderful casino, And you've got the sports betting that you've got now with the DraftKings Sportsbook that's opened up. If you're looking for the best time, and it's just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road, you don't have to fly all the way to Vegas to get Vegas-type casino and atmosphere. It's Golden Nugget, Lake Charles. Tell them you heard it right here.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Wildcat Golf Club. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I don't know if you heard, we've got a new reliever in town, Hector Neris. And he was a closer. He lost his job with the Phillies, but he was a closer. Listen, I want to know if you know or you remember something. Do you remember a guy by the name of Pedro Baez?
Yeah.
You remember him?
What was Isn't he a minor league? Was he that he's the guy from Cuba. Pedro Baez that everyone was talking about.
No, that's Pedro León.
Pedro, he was on The Real World with Puck.
No, that's not him either. Oh. That's it. That's different.
Pedro Baez. I can't place it. The name sounds familiar.
This is the reliever from the Dodgers that was a former closer that the Astros paid.
Oh, was he on the 18 team?
Well, he had COVID last year, and then he actually pitched three games.
Then he had an 89-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, and more less.
Yeah.
Or less. Apparently.
Then he came back and Pedro Baez might be back, and then he was gone again.
Yeah.
Still has a year left.
Problem with Pedro Baez is everything so far, but here's the deal, is he could be a possibility. Listen, they were talking about they needed relievers, right? Luis Graveman.
Oh, no, he's getting a fresh start this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Pedro Baez is now named Brooks Raley.
Yeah, Brooks Raley's gone. Graveman is gone.
Playing the part of Brooks Raley is
going to be. Yimi's gone.
Pedro Baez.
And Nutty. What about Hector Neris?
Neris is going to be Yimi.
I think.
Well, maybe Graveman.
Neris is going to be Graveman.
Well, I mean, Yimi had different.
Well, what about
Yimi seemed to increase in value when the going got tough in the playoffs.
Yeah. What about Maton? Where does he land now?
Maton to me is Graveman. Neris is going.
Said that last year.
Never
during the season.
In a million years. No. And I'm not sure that ends up holding up. We'll see.
Well, he was great though. He was great in the postseason.
He was. He still throws 92, 93. Obviously, his 92, 93 is better than some guy's 96.
And for whatever reason,
the postseason.
For whatever reason, he's great against lefties.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a reason for it. I don't know it, but I think what's going to be interesting is to see. Obviously, Maton takes on a more valuable role. Neris does. Baez has to be counted on getting his velocity back and being in that role. You obviously have
Stanek.
Stanek
Ryan.
and Presley. So
oh, yeah.
Stanek, Presley, it looks like now he thought he was going to escape the bullpen, but I think Christian Javier is going to stay in the bullpen.
I don't mind this bullpen right now.
Odorizzi
he could well be a bullpen guy too. I don't mind this bullpen right now.
I don't think they're done, though. I mean, they lost three relievers. Of course, you get one back with Baez. You add one with Neris. Do you have another arm in the minors that you bring up, or do you sign another? I think they're going to sign another arm.
Well, it's not only Baez that is now – it's not great, but Rafael Montero as well.
What do you mean it's not great?
Well, Rafael Montero was a throw-in in the Graveman deal.
Right.
And he's not, we'll see. But I think that he's going to go to.
What do you expect from throw-ins?
Well, yeah, right. I mean, but he's a possibility.
Yeah, no thanks.
So you may be going. No, I think you got to add at least one more arm. At least one more bullpen arm.
And my guess is this will be a James Click specialty, is that he'll just buy a new bullpen every year. They're not the most – if you're not getting closers, they're not that expensive.
Do you see what bullpen guys are getting now, though?
They're getting –
2 years, 17?
Well, I mean proven bullpen guys are,
yeah.
The price of poker is going up across the league in every position.
But eighth and seventh and eighth inning guys getting eight and a half a year?
Graveman's deal was – I think I don't think the Astros at any point during the year could have anticipated that Graveman was going to get a 3-year, $8 million a year deal.
No.
I don't think they could have anticipated 24 or whatever it was for Graveman. My guess is when they made that deal, they thought, okay, Stromy will work his magic. He'll be better with us than he was with them. He's got upside
but here's the difference, though. Is he was good with them. Because ever since he left the starter role, when he went to the bullpen, he's been good.
Yeah, but it's still a relatively small sample size.
Yeah.
When the Astros got him. The Astros bet on the come up. They hit their come bet. And
I don't like how often you say that, but okay.
They hit it. And, you had to expect that his value would go up. My guess is they never anticipated a guy who wasn't a closer. I mean, was he added to be a closer for the White Sox?
No, Hendricks is their closer.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No.
Then why are you getting the Astros can't pay him that money.
Well, Baez is in the closer, and he's getting eight. I mean, that's the going right
was
now
that
for
his
seven,
number
eight. It's stupid.
Per year, that was his number,
it's too? Stupid. It's stupid.
But that's the thing, though, is you can buy those guys if you're cheap with your starting – if you have inexpensive players at other positions. I think Click is always going to – look, that's Baez, but there's going to be other guys who he doesn't pay an arm and a leg. Nuriz is one of them. I think Click will buy and trade for arms, and he will look at them as short-term commodities that can be traded or allowed to walk for potential compensation. I think that's how he will look at that position.
Well, Baez is 5'5", next year 7'5".
Yeah, that's reasonable.
But that's a club option, too.
Yeah, and it's club option. So basically, he's a $6 million a year guy.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's still a lot of money for a guy that, has fallen off, obviously. He's 33.
But it's a 2-year deal with the third-year club option. Graveman, I don't think was.
No, it's 324.
No options. It's all guaranteed. And he's not a closer. But, yeah, that's obviously going to be the rate. And the Astros said, nope, we just aren't willing to do that.
Yeah. Art agrees with me. How often you said that word? It was just way too much.
So where's the money going to be spent? You have less money for JV. You have no less money for Carlos.
Yeah, Carlos is only 12 though.
Okay, but there's 12. No, eight for JV, and there's Greinke. What was what the Astros had to pay him? Where does that money go?
Well, the Astros are still a top 6-7 team in the league in payroll.
Well, I understand I'm asking where that money shuffles. Let's say $8 million off of Justin Verlander. Where does that
Yeah, but we talk about this all the time, is you got to make sure that you don't overpay now, because in the NFL you're going to have to pay guys as soon as their contracts are up. Guess what's going to happen with Tucker? Guess what's going to happen with Yordan? And you know what? I wouldn't be opposed. Hey, listen. If you don't go and spend that, I want them to go get another bat. They need to get a center fielder, or they need to get a shortstop that can actually hit. Because you know what, you're still got a window open here with this pitching staff, with this bullpen, with this lineup, with one more bat in the lineup, you are a serious World Series contender. But would you be opposed to them doing a Yordan 5-year deal now, or a Tucker 5-year deal now, before they hit arbitration? I would.
No. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's smart baseball. It's been smart with Bregman, and it would be smart with those two as well.
You know what smart baseball is for the players? Not taking that deal, if I'm going to be brutally honest.
Would Bregman have made $100 million, though, in those 5 years? I don't know.
No, but in terms of getting a long-term deal, hitting the market and getting one of those 8 to 10-year deals, Bregman, when he could have – well, what, he came up 16, so – yeah, you're right. I mean, he'd just be hitting his potential to be a free agent. Bregman would still get a 9-10 year, $280 million deal minimum. Third baseman with Pop. I mean, that's what he'd be looking at. I think you sacrifice some money for the guaranteed stuff on the front end. George Springer never agreed to any of those bait contracts that the Astros put out there for John Singleton. Early on, Singleton said, yep, and then he bought about 50 pounds of weed, smoked it out, and is out of baseball, I think, maybe in the minor leagues. George Springer said, no, I'm not falling for a banana in the tailpipe contract offer. And he didn't, and he ended up playing it out, and he made his money. But I do think it behooves the Astros for either Tucker or Yordan, and probably Tucker first, to say, hey, can we interest you in a little more money right now for a little more, we'll buy off a couple of your arbitration years if you give us the front end of the free agency
years. So Bregman ain't gonna mind. Bregman's making 12. He made 12.6 last year. He's making 12.6 this year. He bumps up to 30 and 30.
Next year?
Next in 23, he's 30. In 24, he's 30.
Yeah.
That's where the Hunter comes in.
Well, there's 8, and then you have Carlos's 12. That's 20 extra million. That's basically those two players. Then where does Greinke's money go?
Yeah, well, I mean, back in Jim Crane's pocket. Why you got to spend all Jim Crane's money?
Because he's got to spend some money.
Does he have to spend
some
money?
I paid $76.
Have you seen the Pirates payroll?
I'm sorry. I paid $76 for two waters and two double gin and tonics. Let's get some. You know what? I paid for a little. Well, I paid for at least a better shortstop or center fielder than just going
with
the.
Jim Crane bought me a pizza, so guess what?
Don't care.
Yeah, is that right?
When I watch it, when I saw those cocktail prices, I'm like, no, we're going to make a legitimate offer to Carlos, right? I couldn't believe what they told me the price was when I said, no, I think you got my order wrong. No, I got it right, sir.
No.
Oh, no.
All right.
This is going to be it then. I'm not getting any more drinks here.
When we come back.
That's why flasks get built.
When we come back, Lance, do you think robots should be able to procreate?
This is the worst story I saw yesterday.
Yep.
And I mean, we have literally I was listening to an AI specialist, an AI engineer. I don't know if it was a podcast or
tease.
I read this.
That's a tease.
But this is what he said. But I don't want. This is what this guy said. Oh no, we've already passed the point of no return. Like our fate is sealed. But it doesn't have to be as bad with these robots as we think. I'm like, back to the fate is sealed. He goes, oh yeah, no, we're past the point of no return. We are going to be
overrun.
It's just a matter of how violent. Like, what?
When we come back, we will tell you why we think this. Next, right here on ESPN 90, live from Wildcat Golf Club. What's up, Stace? I like that hat. Here we go. If you're looking for a great way to get your – and here's a U of H guy. It's Jeff Aronoff. I don't know if he went to UH, but I do know he's a big, big supporter of the program. He loves the Cougs. He takes care of them. He spends his money there. And if you're a Coug fan, this is a guy that, you know what, you should support. Like all the other Coug advertisers that we have here, here's another guy that puts his money where his mouth is. He takes care of the program, and he takes care of you and your outdoor patio, your outdoor kitchen, your indoor kitchen, your indoor van, your indoor bathroom, or your outdoor bathroom. I don't care. Whatever the case may be, Jeff Aronoff is going to make it better. He's going to improve it with marble and granite, or he's going to change those cabinets. He's going to change the entire look of your kitchen, new sinks, everything. There's nothing that Jeff Aronoff can't do except a small job. Jeff Aronoff needs big, big, big jobs. And if you're looking for a great way to improve your home value or your business value, 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Wildcat Golf Club. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back. Live at Wildcat Golf Club. This is our final segment. Charlie's next. Joel and Jeremy out here after that. And I think the boys are out here, too, are they? Everybody's out. All the show's out here at Wildcat Golf Club today as we have our occasional invitational. Just a wonderful time had by all. And if you're in the neighborhood and you want to play, it's inexpensive. We're going to tee off in about a half an hour. There's spots for you. An individual, a couple of guys, you got to foursome. You guys want to come and play. You want to be part of the action. Come on. We're going to be out here. We've got food, drink. We want to thank SiteJab for being the sponsor. We want to thank Michelob Ultra. We want to thank all of our sponsors. Get your lunch right here, Frankie's Italian Kitchen. You got that. You got dinner with Orleans Seafood tonight. It's just been tremendous. We really appreciate all of our sponsors that are taking care of business here as well. Cutwater Spirits. They're here as well, taking care of us with spirits,
great,
too.
Yeah,
so
great
thanks
sponsors.
To everybody. Yeah, Acme has got a tent out there. and they're going to be given, if you hit it within the circle on number seven, on number eight out here on the lakes, rather, eight, if you hit it within the circle, then you're going to get, they're giving away prizes for it. Just great stuff. Just great stuff. We appreciate everybody. Lance, so we've seen Westworld. We've seen Jurassic Park.
I mean, they typically, those robots eventually turn.
We've seen Black Mirror. We see what this is, what Terminator. We see this is real.
Yeah, but this is great, John, because we control these robots, so we can just stop making the robots and everything will be fine.
No, that's not the case.
Why?
U.S. scientists who created the first living robots say the life forms known as xenobots can now reproduce and in a way not seen in plants and animals. They actually can heal themselves and they can reproduce. They can change like frogs. If you put frogs in a different, if you put frogs in, without a male and a female,
yeah,
just one. One sex?
Yeah.
Taylor. You guys, look at what's going on already. If you put them out there, they will find a way to reproduce without a female or without a male. They will find a way, and so will robots.
So what you're telling me is that they can make more of themselves and
kill you
and heal themselves so that
yes.
If you tried to damage them, they could get better. Like a Terminator might.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Kind of Terminator-ish.
Very Terminator-ish. Very wow. Jurassic Park-ish.
Yesterday was not a good day for my robots will eventually overtake us and murder us all. I'm just hoping I'm done. I'm out of here before that happens.
Oh, we're going to be dead. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We're moving awfully fast. Have you seen what has happened just in the last 10 years in AI? Like, we've gone the leaps and bounds that have been made with robots. What do you think the next 10 years will look like? Are you dying in the next 10 years? Gilbert told me I was, so maybe I'll be safe. You may not be.
Look at this. We won the event, the CCA golf tournament, and I just got my first place cup and my golf balls from the guys from CCA.
Oh, good.
Did you get any? No. Did you win?
I didn't
no.
finish first.
Did Tyler win? No. I've seen him play. No, he
I'm
didn't
not
win.
Asking for participation sleeves of golf
Whoa.
Balls.
Seems like it. That feels like a jab.
It was. Yeah. Wait, you're using that wrong. You're using that wrong. Hey, Lance, do you think you should put bullets in a toaster oven?
Sure.
In an old people's home?
I mean, why not?
Well, because they'll start firing bullets all over the facility.
The heat will heat up the gunpowder, or what are you telling me here?
The Morningside Assisted Living Facility, around 9 p.m., apparently there were gunshots fired from the toaster oven because somebody thought it would be a good idea to put bullets in a toaster oven. Somebody thought this was a good idea. I don't know who. The governor here... Governor of New Hampshire, Chris Sununu, mm-hmm. on Thursday denounced a conservative group's offer to pay $500 to the first person who catches a public school teacher violating New Hampshire's new limits on the discussion of systemic racism and other topics. The governor thinks bounties on teachers should stop. Do you think there should be bounties on teachers?
No, not typically. I don't think there should be bounties on many people.
And
I feel like except,
criminals.
Bounties, like a bounty hunter who's trying to make sure they get bail jumpers.
Right.
Yeah.
Crime stoppers.
And maybe on kickers.
Yeah. Crime stop. Well, no, you don't put a bounty on
I thought
on
we
kicker.
Were supposed to get.
No, we did that. Remember, I got suspended for a year.
Don't you cut off the head and the body follows? I thought Greg Williams said something there.
Lance, do you ever go to Dollar Tree?
I've been to a dollar store before. Yeah, I don't know if it's Dollar Tree.
A Dollar Tree.
I went there for aluminum foil one time. It was the worst purchase of my life. Did you know there's such a thing as horrific aluminum foil? What I thought would be standard across the board. Oh, there's real aluminum foil, and then there was the Dollar Tree aluminum foil.
Well, see, Dollar Tree now, unfortunately, they're hiking their prices 25%. Any item will cost $1.25 now. Should they be called the $1.25 tree?
You should immediately lose your Dollar Tree license.
Yes. Can you be called the Dollar Tree
I'd
anymore?
Force them to change their DBA. I'd force them to change all the paperwork, all of it.
Ethiopia.
You're living a lie.
Did you know that Ethiopia won a man from Ethiopia won a Nobel Peace Prize?
I did not know that.
Well, now he says he's going to lead troops on the front lines against rebels. Do you think he should have the Nobel Peace Prize if he's leading troops? Do you think that is Nobel Peace Prize worthy?
Yeah, is he protecting his people?
Yeah, but you say you do that peacefully, don't you, if you win a Nobel Peace Prize?
Sometimes it's not your choice. Hmm. You don't have a choice, right?
Not anymore. Well, apparently, I already won it.
Now, so, I can tell
you this. Guess what? I won it already.
I'm not worried about
it. No take backs.
See, I'm not worried about the whole label of Nobel Peace Prize. What I'm worried about is this one of your best fighters? A guy who won a Nobel Peace Prize? Like,
well,
you kind of need some rough guys in there. Well, is this one of your roughest guys?
Is this a guy that you know is going to be able to lead the troops?
Is this a guy that rallies the troops and can make the hard decisions to murder that you have in war? That's what I'd be worried about.
Look at this. If you get closest to the pin on number 8, the Acme tent, you get 2 tickets to the Texans. If you're further out, you get 4 tickets.
Oh, wow. That is dangerous. That is a dangerous.
4 tickets.
Woo!
Yeah.
You better bring your A game to that thing.
No, I just made that up. Oh. But they are giving away tickets, giving away all kinds of prizes. Thanks to all of our sponsors here today, including Acme John right there. We appreciate y'all. Thank you, everyone. Charlie Polillo's next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm talking about my man, Scott McGrath, who was at my place just last month, as a matter of fact. Every 3 months or so, they come, they spray, they take care of business, make sure that you don't have those bugs. McGrathPestControl.com, locally owned and operated company, a guy who's been in business here, who started with just a couple of trucks, and now he's got a bunch of trucks out there on the street. But here's the thing, is you're keeping your money here. It's not some big national place where you can actually, if you have any questions, you can talk to the owner here. I don't know that I've never had any issue with any bugs at my house because I've got Scott McGrath on my side. You will too. If you have a real, real problem with bugs, Scott McGrath is the guy for you. I've seen him take care of unbelievably difficult situations and take care of it for the customer. You're looking for that pest control guy, it's my guy. It's Scott McGrath. Get to the website, McGrathPestControl.com, or give him a call, 281-469-8240, 281-469-8240. It's McGrath Pest Control.
ESPN 97.5.
Please stand by.